Thank you, Norman and Bev, Brady, for reading that. The passage that they read for us there was found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. When I was growing up, I thought this church thing was for the lame, for lame people. And in fact, it actually is. But the point is that I didn't think that this God was anybody who was worth loving. All he did for me was tell me what I could do and what I couldn't do. And so I already had a set of parents who were doing a mighty fine job of giving me lots of do's and don'ts. Really wasn't looking for another parent in my life. It wasn't until I realized that I was lame, crippled, disabled, retarded, or you can pick whatever other word you want to put in there, that I began to look at who God is. And so Christianity is for the lame. Jesus said it is not the healthy who need to see a doctor, it is the sick. And I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So over the next 7 weeks, we want to do a doctor's visit. Many of us fight to go and see the doctor, and it is for a variety of reasons. I will list three. There are many more, I'm sure. But the first one that I list is that we don't think there's anything wrong with us. That's the first reason we don't go see a doctor. There's nothing wrong with me. I have no need to go and see a doctor. Second one, well, I'm a little sick, but I can probably get over this myself, or it will go away if I just, after a little bit, it'll just go away. I don't need to go and see the doctor. Third reason is we don't like the doctor. I know I'm sick, but if that doctor is the only option that I have, I'd rather be sick. In our spiritual lives, these same reasons exist that we don't go and see the doctor. There are more, but these are some that I have experienced and have witnessed. Peter Rempel is starting a Bible study. The Transform series on Monday nights here at the church. That series is a book that Rick Warren put together. And so, through his studies, he has come up with 7 different areas in which we need health as Christians. And they are spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. So these 7 areas over the next 7 weeks will be the topics that we will be preaching through. We want to take a look into Scripture and see what it has to say about these things. So we want to do what we call maybe a complete checkup or a physical, although it's not going to be complete. I remember my brother Randy was sick some years back, and so they had trouble figuring out what was wrong with him, and so finally there was a doctor down in some central Alberta who came out of retirement and said, "I will have a look at this man." Well, Randy said, "Inside and outside, I don't think there was one part of my body that he wasn't in." He felt thoroughly checked over by the time this guy was done with him. It's maybe not quite what we're going to do, but hopefully some of that is what we're going to do here over the next 7 weeks. If you are coming to church because you want the church or want Christ to confirm for you how well you are doing, then you are probably in the wrong place. Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble in James 4, verse 6. So if you're thinking that you have it all together, that's probably a sign that you don't. And I, standing up here, certainly don't have it all together. Very seldom, if ever, do people go to the doctor because they are healthy. They usually think that they are sick, So this doctor, Dr. God, who is he? And why is he the doctor that we need to go to? Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? Where is the resting place? Has not my hand made all things, and so they came into being?" God is the creator of the world. He is the creator of everything. He is the creator of you, and he's the creator of me. This is why he's the doctor that we need to go to. He is the one who understands us. He's the only one who can fix us. But that's irrelevant if there's nothing that needs to be fixed. Now we go to the doctor and he checks you out and he looks for something. This thing that he looks for is called a symptom. He's not really looking for the symptom that he sees isn't really what he wants to treat. He wants to treat the root, but the symptom is going to tell him what's wrong. So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So if you are spiritually healthy, you will not gratify or carry out the desires of the flesh. So this word that we translate, gratify, carry out, means to perform, execute, complete, or fulfill. And so it doesn't mean that you won't be tempted by sin. What it means that when you are tempted by sin, that you are not going to carry it out, whatever that sin may be. Verse 17, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, and so they do not, so that you do not do whatever you want." Sometimes when we talk about the assurance of salvation, we say, well, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can do whatever you want. Well, this passage just tells you that you can't do whatever you want. It's pretty straightforward. These two pieces of your life are in conflict with each other. Verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So the fact is that if you are being led by the Holy Spirit, then you don't need the law to tell you what is right and what is wrong. The Holy Spirit will convict you. Jeremiah 31, 34, 33, and 34 says this, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more." God was going to pour out his Holy Spirit on his people. And they would lead, this Holy Spirit would lead them into all truth. So you could read this and say that I don't need my Bible anymore, I have the Holy Spirit. But you would be wrong. You need the Bible to make sure and to check that if you are being checked whether or not you're being led by the Holy Spirit or by some other spirit. So let's have a look at some of these symptoms of the spiritually sick. The acts of flesh are obvious, it says, and it starts with sexual immorality. I'm not going to go into a bunch of details for the sake of those that are younger among us, but I would encourage you to look into that. It's really quite extensive. Second one, impurity. It's in a moral sense. The impurity of lustful, reckless living. It is a sense of indulging oneself. And it's considered dirty. I want something, I get it. There's nothing holding me back. Debauchery, unbridled lust, excess, wantonness, outrageousness, shameless, rudeness, disrespect are all words that are associated with debauchery, idolatry. the worship of false gods. So it is the sin in which the material things of life have taken the place of God. So whatever that may be it your house, your car, your toys, your job, your family, what has taken the place of God in your life? Or do you have anything that has taken the place of God in your life? We're looking for these symptoms. Do you have these symptoms in your life? Witchcraft, magical arts, sorcery, its potions, spells, superstitions, fortune telling, etc. Had an individual tell me some time ago they had lost a loved one. And so they were going to go and see a medium so that they could speak to their loved one. And this was okay. Here, it's labeled as something that is evidence of you being spiritually sick. Hatred, hostility, enmity, loathing, animosity. So how are we doing? You're having a look at your own life right now. This isn't about the guy or the gal that's sitting next to you. It's about you. Do we see some of these symptoms in our life? Discord, contention, strife, wrangling. It's arguing, quarreling, fighting. It's disputes. Do these things follow us? Jealousy. Do you want what others have? It's not getting any better. And the list doesn't get any better. It's fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, the envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I won't go into explaining what those are. You can look into your life. And it's not a list that you look over and you say, well, one little problem over here, and I'm okay. You know, I'm doing pretty good. I don't know how many are listed there, but I'm doing good in 9 out of 10. James 2:10 says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. So if you're spiritually healthy, or you see yourself as that, I know for me, going through that list reminded me that maybe I wasn't quite as spiritually healthy as I thought I was. But as much as there are unhealthy symptoms when you look, there are also symptoms of the healthy. And that's continuing on in this Galatians 5 passage, starting in verse 22. You look at some of the healthy symptoms that are there. We've looked at the negative, are these things in our life? And so what about some healthy things? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Love. Is love evident in your life? Would people use this word when they were describing you? This is the agape love. This is the love that is given despite what somebody else does. It's an unconditional love. Is that evidence in your life? What about joy? Having a chat with an elderly individual a little while ago, he says, everyone brings joy to me. Some by coming, some by going. I'm hoping that you bring joy to people's life by coming into their life rather than by going out of it. Peace. Do you bring calmness to situations, tranquility, rest, relaxation, forbearance, patience? It's a slowness in avenging wrongs. Or are we quick to set somebody else straight? Kindness. Do you wish well of others? Do you wish them well? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are these things evident in your life? Again, a list of maybe not a complete list even. But I'm doing good in 8 of those, but I really lack self-control. Well, James 2, verse 10. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. So do you find yourself being motivated by or being focused on earthly ambitions, or are you focused on the spiritual, heavenly ambitions? Our problem is that when we become Christians, we continue to live in this carnal world, and so we are constantly living in the context of these things that aren't supposed to be our passions, and so they affect us. I didn't pass this test. According to this Galatians test, I didn't pass. And if anyone here passed this test, I congratulate you. But what do? I really don't think that there's anybody here that fits this. So if you're spiritually unhealthy, what do? I'm reminded of the verse in Matthew 19, 25 and 26, where the disciples asked Jesus, who then can be saved? Who then is spiritually healthy? Well, Jesus answered, with man, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So our spiritual health begins in our recognition of our depravity. Recognition that it is God who gives us health. Not that we ourselves are able to give us this health. When God is really God, then there is no room for any pagan god. So when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he replied with this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Warren Wiersbe says, when you read Psalm 119, you discover what the law of God meant to Jewish people who were spiritually minded and devoted to God in their hearts. They saw God's righteous law not as a heavy yoke, but as honey, light, treasure, freedom, and a source of great joy. They delighted in the law and meditated on it. Yes, the Ten Commandments were engraved on tablets of stone, but the spiritual Jew also had the word hidden in his heart. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And Matthew 11:28 and 29 says, come to me, all you are weary and are heavy and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Probably the most memorized verse in Scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. My hope is that you see your brokenness, that you see that there is something within you that is in need of fixing. I hope that you recognize that you can't fix this on your own, or that it will go away by itself. And then my hope is that you will taste and see that the Lord is good, that he is the great physician, and that you will come to actually like him because he really does love you. He gave up his son. He allowed to him to take on the shame of this broken world that we might go free. When this is the case, then the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength doesn't become a burden, but rather it becomes a natural expression of what we have experienced because of him. John 4:10. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Our spiritual health comes out of a relationship based on love. God's love for us and then reflected in our love back to him. I reflected on this in my board report last February. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In my recent reading at that time, I had come across this quote, "You are the most important and most difficult leadership assignment." You are the most important and most difficult leadership assignment. And it caused me to think. I think that I switched the greatest commandments around and I put number two in the place of number one. If I am to love God, I will have to spend time with him. When I truly fall in love with God, then loving my neighbor will become second nature. Only by me stepping into and nurturing this love relationship with God will I be able to lead or help others to grow in their relationship with him. But too often I attempt to love my neighbor to prove to myself, to others, and to God that I'm loving the God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm trying to place this fruit on this tree. I'm trying to manipulate this fruit, this good thing that would show that I'm a healthy, spiritual Christian. I'm trying to put those things there to prove to myself and to prove to you and to God that I really am spiritually healthy. But I can't, because it's fake fruit. In Deuteronomy, that passage that Delone's read for us reads this, "The commands that I give today are to be on your hearts." Do you ever wonder what somebody's heart is full of? You don't have to look very far. Just sit down with them and talk with them for a while. It kind of comes out. Sometimes this is deceiving because we get pretty good at putting on this facade. And we get pretty good. We're actually very good at self-control. Because in certain situations, we can really dress it up. And in others, we just let it go. Jesus said, "What the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." For many of us, we talk about our work, our families, our kids, what our kids are involved in. And that isn't wrong to talk about these things. But how do we talk about them? Colossians 4:6, "Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Jesus' full comment was, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." It's not very encouraging most of the time. Some of us condemn ourselves by how we talk. What we say we believe and the way we talk contradict each other. But the good news is that when we acknowledge our sickness and we seek the doctor for our help, there's a cure. There's a fix. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins. Purify us from all unrighteousness." When we go to the doctor, usually look for a prescription. "Something wrong with me? Doctor, what do you have?" So sometimes the doctor will say, "Drink lots of water, get plenty of rest." Or some over-the-counter medication, Tylenol should work. "Take 2 aspirin, call me in the morning." Maybe exercise and some fresh air. And then sometimes he'll give you a prescription that can only be filled by the pharmacy. Regardless, these are all prescriptions. The great physician also gives you a prescription. Verse 7 in Deuteronomy, "Impress them on your children." Express what on your children? The commands of God. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Talk about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Make him a part of your regular conversation, and your spiritual health will improve. But in order to impress something upon somebody else, you actually need to have it impressed upon your heart first. What does it mean to talk about it in all these different places? It means that God should never be very far from you. The more you talk about him, the more he will be in your mind and your spiritual health will benefit. We need these constant reminders because we forget easily. And so people are warned not to forget and given a prescription so that they won't forget. Make these things habits in your life. Romans 8, 31 to 39. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you want spiritual health? Even that, I think, is a continuum. It's a place where you start and you continue on and you grow in your desire to be spiritually healthy. God is on our side. When we acknowledge our dependence upon him, surrender your life to him, there is no need to be afraid of him. He is your God. He is your Savior. And Satan cannot separate you from him. In this life, we will never attain the perfection of Jesus Christ. But in him, we are declared righteous, spiritually healthy. Then he walks with us as we grow and become what he has declared us to be. We have all sorts of opportunities. In our community, and in our church, you just look into your bulletin a little bit. Transform Bible study, Christian life class, kids club in Tall Cree, youth and junior followers Bible studies, young adults retreat, this Bible study that the ladies are working for, men's prayer fellowship Thursday mornings, Tuesday mornings the ladies gather at the church. Are you making yourself available to these things so that God is never far from you? You have all these opportunities to step into. My encouragement to you is take the opportunities while they're there. We want to move into communion. Too often, I think we do something. When it comes time for communion, we are called to examine ourselves. So we do that, just like we've kind of done this morning. But when we examine ourselves, we find that we are discouraged. We don't make the grade. We're not spiritually healthy. We're not in a place where we should be taking up communion. I have this thing that I have going on, and I have that thing that I have going on, and I haven't cleaned it all up. My life's a mess, so I can't take communion. I think it's wrong. We take communion because we recognize that we are needy people and that we are not spiritually healthy. Without Christ, we have nothing. We have no hope. We can't say what they're saying of Talita, that she has this amazing peace. Because she has a hope. Not because she's perfect, but because she's placed her hope in Jesus Christ.